I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire?
Don't make me kill you.
Anakin, my allegiance to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
I will do what I must. I don't know, something like that.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
That was it.
Oh,
welcome
boy, we
back to the Star Wars guys.
Hey, it's old Hayden Christensen.
I thought we were morphing into old Hayden.
I was gonna do. We were gonna get to the very end. Hey. It was gonna be. You will try, and I was gonna go. You will try, and I'm just happy. What's up, Star Wars? Old Hayden Christensen. It's great to be. Here at Celebration. Months ago. That's it.
I wasn't sure how far we were going with the quote. So.
Oh, apparently we're going back a long time.
Not far enough.
Welcome back to the Star Wars Guys podcast. We were off last week, so it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Been a bit since we recorded. But,
sorry about that.
We're excited to be
back. Tons of messages asking, what happened? Where were you?
What happened?
Where are you guys?
Where were you?
Well,
listen,
we
took a trip to a galaxy far, far away.
Thankfully, our fans rallied, and they said, come back, come back. Come back.
Yeah.
And then we came back, and they're like,
Go away.
Yeah. But no, we're going to dive into it. We are, Mike thought of a good topic this week. And
we are Mike. Thought of a good topic this week.
The new Star Wars, a.k.a. some of us may refer to it as Disney era, but the new Star Wars actually enhances the old Star Wars.
Ooh.
The originals could even relate to the prequels some. But the Disney versus George Lucas eras, how the new stories, and we're going to be touching on some different things. I actually took notes this week.
You did?
I took notes. I went through and wrote a couple things down. But
I didn't write a thing.
Love it.
It's all in there.
I actually had notes. And I deleted them.
You did?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I took some just so I could get rid of them. No.
took them and I got them.
But yeah, we're going to talk about different moments within the new Star Wars era. And how that enhances some characters, further develops some of the things. And when you look back at the original trilogy now, how maybe some of that, you know, your perception maybe changed a little bit, knowing more about that character or that scene or the history behind it.
Do we need to clarify what new and old are? Because for some of us, the prequels are old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some might call them new.
True.
Yeah.
But are we saying...
I'd say we can do how additional pieces of Star Wars have added to...
Enhanced anything that came before. Yeah, okay.
Like, for instance, some might say that the prequels gave us... we learned a little bit more about Darth Vader. No, I'm just kidding. this is the whole prequels.
I hear he turned good.
But yeah, so we can go anywhere. We can go anywhere.
Yeah.
He turned good. Yeah, we can go anywhere with this. My initial thought when I was just coming up with the topic was thinking even how, like... how the Disney sales stuff, if we divide the lines. Maybe it is like...
Even Clone Wars might be the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Clone Wars can go either way, actually. Because
it really enhanced the...
Yeah. Clone Wars is fair
Clone
game
Wars
for sure.
Prequels,
definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Before we dive into it,
I
want to shout out one thing.
I'm kind of cold, by the way.
He's cold.
Hey, what's that flash?
He's a little chilly. We can pass it around.
Chilly.
Shout out to two companies, actually, Legion Sabers and... Sackcloth and Ashes for the amazing Star Wars licensed blanket we got here. It's the Twin Suns.
It's very cool.
It's the Twin Suns.
Very understated. Feels like, you know, looks like Tatooine's.
I'll hold it up, but you guys
comfortable.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I love the Tatooine, the colors.
Oh, I thought it was going to, when he says, I thought it was going to be like it's like a very subtle, cool, artistic design. Tatooine Twin Suns.
Oh, that's sweet. Looks like I'm going nowhere. I'm never getting out of here. Look, it's only one more season. Oh gosh, I love
that's
great. The scene I've probably gone back to the most of any scene in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think
here's the thing about it. One, I can hear the music, even though it's verbal. I can hear it just by looking at this thing.
Yeah.
But best part about this too.
Ooh.
It's big.
It's not
It actually fits. Mm-hmm. You know.
Made of pure Beskar.
It is pure Beskar.
So comfy.
The roughest blanket ever is not made of pure Beskar.
No, it's great. It's such a great blanket.
It's awesome.
And they got a really cool thing going. Every purchase of a blanket that you buy from Sackcloth and Ashes, they actually send an extra one to a homeless shelter near you. So your local homeless shelter. So it's great. Great way to give back and also treat yourself to a nice Star Wars licensed blanket. Awesome. So Lucasfilm teamed up with them.
Get comfy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Settle in.
Yeah. And Legion really Sabers, cool. who has sent in some sabers on the way too, was nice enough to partner with them and send this our way.
We can
way,
never
so.
Get enough sabers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're one day we'll just show up and we're just holding all of them.
You haven't seen the one I put up at the house, have you?
No.
I got them all mounted on the wall. You haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh.
Have to come and see it.
Yeah.
Might have to
one of these days, you guys are going to walk in, this whole backdrop's just going to be lightsabers.
That's awesome.
Or they just... People show up, and one day we're casting from down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Podcast
out of the
on
basement.
The road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Yeah, right.
That'd be great. We got to.
I love it.
Yep.
We got to. Mike, is there a particular one that you wanted to start with?
Yeah, so.
There is.
I do want to start with one.
That threw me off.
I didn't expect
him to have anything ready.
No, remember,
he threw away his notes.
Well, that's because I felt like the Nick Nolte's.
The Nolte's.
I have spoken.
The Nick Nolte's. I call Nick Nolte the Nolte's.
That's a good example.
Is that like the Beliebers?
The Beliebers. The you got the rabid followers. You got the Nolte's.
You got the Nolte's.
But yeah, I have spoken. My notes that I talked about, I felt like my notes were Obi-Wan's fault. They were holding me back. And so I got rid of them.
Good.
And, you know, the first thing that I thought of, speaking of Obi-Wan, was how I, upon watching the Obi-Wan series, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, I will never view, there's a number of moments, but especially after seeing the interaction. I grew up, as all three of us did, not knowing the extent of there being any additional interactions, especially after the prequels. We kind of thought that the last time that Anakin/Vader saw Obi-Wan was on the side of the mountain when he was being, you know, he's popping like popcorn. He was just burning up.
That was rough.
And Obi-Wan goes, "Oh, Anakin," and he just walks away. But it always made so much sense with the way the original was written. And George didn't know exactly how this series would come. But when he says, a feeling I haven't felt since. And it was like, he says since. And then later they write in what happens in the prequels.
Yeah.
But it never said, oh, here's the moment that he last. And in the original trilogy, especially in Return of the Jedi, when we had the Obi-Wan once thought as you did, we never had that moment of feeling like, is he gone? Is he not gone? Is Obi-Wan trying to pull him back in to the light? And this series, especially when you get the final, you didn't kill, like the whole when his voice is going
you
back and forth.
You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker.
That's when he's like, I'm sorry, Anakin, for everything.
For all of it.
He talks, they have their conversation, and he says, well, then my friend is truly dead or truly gone, which is a play, obviously, on the, and then my father's truly dead.
Goodbye, Darth.
Goodbye, Darth. Right. Like, that whole thing, that whole scene, but that whole series, there's a number of moments. Leia, the scene of Vader fighting old Ben Kenobi, and Ben looks, and he sees Luke and Leia, now as upper teens/adults, and he sees them and they're there with Han Solo, which he doesn't have a connection to Han yet, but he sees them and they're, he's going to finally, he realizes this is the time, my fight's over, it's their fight now, but he kind of gives this like smirk and he waits. Now, when I watch that, I don't think just he's looking at Luke, he's looking at Leia too. He has much more of a, he actually has much more of a relationship with Leia.
Yeah.
And seeing that they're both there together now, and have found each other, and they don't know the extent of their connection, brother and sister. Spoiler alert! But he knows. Okay, they're together. They're set up. This is the time. The best thing I can do is
train them. I've done what I can.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
And I'll never look at that the same way again because of what we got. And yes, there are budget restrictions and things that I'm like, man, that didn't probably play as well as they thought it would in certain moments. I adore that series, and it's because of what it makes me feel. Because of what it makes me feel, and the way it adds, it enriches.
Yeah,
enriches an already very rich original story.
It's part of the saga now.
Yeah,
like that.
So again, I know I went long on the first one, but any thoughts on the one I gave there as far as, are there any moments from that connection of the Obi-Wan series that I didn't touch on that you guys...
Yeah, I mean, like? I think going, you mentioned Leia, even just Leia's message to Obi-Wan, you're my only, help me Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
Yeah.
Like that, and it's not just, you know, Bail telling her to, hey, Obi-Wan's our only hope.
Yep.
And she's replying, it's, she is the one that has a connection with him too. So when she's saying it, it's not just words that she was told, it's her actually knowing and believing that too, and knowing who Obi-Wan is.
That's right.
And that connection that they had, recognizing he is our only hope, not just, you know, Bail Organa or someone telling her to try and get these plans to Obi-Wan and her not knowing even who that is.
Yeah.
It just adds so much more to that iconic scene, too. But
there is a couple from that show. That's one. I do think it was cool when they're tracking the ship when she's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they escape. They're tracking us. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
Yeah.
So she's been through that before, yeah, and we saw that
exactly
play out. I do think we could clarify, some would call retconning, maybe.
Yeah.
To a degree. And there are some things about episode 4 that don't necessarily fit mm-hmm. with this.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that we now have this other relationship.
Yeah.
That, such yes. a great surprise. And the other thing I think is cool is Leia differentiating between Ben and
yeah.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's with this
Ben Kenobi.
That's right. Ben Kenobi. And Obi-Wan and her putting the connection together early that you're a mm-hmm. Jedi?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're a Jedi. That she didn't know, yeah. right? Ben is the guy she was with, and now Obi-Wan's a different guy.
Yeah.
So when old Leia calls for Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's kind of like it's trying to awaken the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminding him of the hero he was. Not
you serve my father
in
the Clone Wars.
Man,
yeah.
The hero who's mm-hmm. Obi-Wan, which yeah. is, and that kind of sparks something, I think.
Yeah, I think later. it also cuz after watching the Kenobi series, shortly after I went and rewatched A New Hope and Empire, and even just the character of Leia and her like fearlessness to Vader and to Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
Now I even look at that as like more like it's enhanced. I get more out of it
yeah.
now, knowing like this is how she's kind of grown up, seeing her as a little mm-hmm. kid. I was a little defiant and running
she
off.
She not only yeah. stood up to Vader and Tarkin, she stood up first to Flea.
Flea.
Yeah.
And,
not gonna,
you know, the Red Hot Chili Pepper, it was due. Let's just put it that
that's
way.
True.
Yeah,
it
that's
was
true.
Due.
It's about time somebody.
Somebody.
Ran but those guys into some branches.
Yeah. It's interesting because she's not, it's not just like her being thrown into this because of who she is and her relation to Anakin. And then at, you know, like Luke at age, you know, 17, 18, he actually starts finding out about what's going on.
Yeah.
This is literally her being in the fight since she's, since her earliest memories.
That's like, right.
She has been in this political battle, basically, mm-hmm. from day one.
Yeah.
And so seeing that all play out, it just adds so much more to
love it.
To her
how about the fact that she is the one who brings out, like, that she is the one who wakes him up?
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because we've talked about it, not to spend too long on the Kenobi series, but we talked about it, all our predictions,
yeah,
none of us predicted going into it that, oh, this show is going to focus on young
yeah.
Leia.
We said the she'll clip we got of Luke was almost the whole thing.
That was.
I know.
And we didn't even think about, oh.
Wait a second.
what a brilliant way to, and I know some people thought that maybe there's more Leia than they thought there'd be. Whatever, I get that. But like, what a brilliant way to wake him up is that he's spending time with the brother of the person he's protecting. And obviously she's part of his protection plan as well, mm-hmm. even though, you know, she's living with Bail. Bail is like, you know, they're just, she's just as important as he is.
Right.
And like this whole thing was, it just felt like that was even due justice for Leia going all
it
the
was.
Way back to
yeah.
Just the originals as well.
That
just,
was great.
Yeah. Loved it.
It was awesome.
Loved
it. Yeah. No, I've got a handful here that
yeah,
I definitely want to get to. One of my favorites, I think, is, and this kind of now has been tied to, it's kind of what you said, defining new versus mm-hmm. the old, but it's kind of a blend of both. And how it's kind of enhanced the character, but Maul.
Mm-hmm.
Maul, ooh. Going back to Phantom Menace, but then with George Lucas creating the Clone Wars and bringing Maul back, but even post-George Lucas, them Filoni now rolling with that character through the duration of Clone Wars and onto Rebels, I just love what they... I mean, Maul became this character that obviously looked scary on screen, was a cool character, but didn't have a lot of background to becoming one of my favorite stories, like character arcs.
For sure.
For just everything he went through. It's basically, I look at kind of he... And even Ventress, in a way, as kind of like the opposite side of a coin of Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the dark side versus the light side version of things. The outcast, not really with the Sith anymore, doing its own thing, but still has his mission. And then building off of that with the new Star Wars, getting the entire like idea of Crimson Dawn. And I'm sure we're going to get more stories told on that eventually. We've got some comics and stuff, but I'm sure we'll get more Crimson Dawn in due time of on screen, but I love all of that. I love all of that, and it's definitely added so much more because now I go back and watch Phantom Menace, and when I see Darth Maul, one, you know he didn't die, but it's not just knowing he didn't die, but then also rethinking like everything. He's like, this is the beginning.
Yeah,
like it originally was the end of his character,
right?
But now I look at it as him falling down that shaft, and you're like, this is literally the beginning of his character now. It's like I see it in a whole different light of all the great story to become. Obviously tragic for him, but great story to be told out of his character after.
You want to go into that moment, world between worlds, and whisper in Obi-Wan's ear and go, stab him forward. Yeah. You cut him in half, he's going to be,
work.
He's
you
gonna
gotta
be
go
fine.
Puncture.
Stab him forward.
No slicing.
Years from now, the stab, if you're an Inquisitor, that stab's not going to do much to you. But right now, we just worked. This is a moment where it just got your master. Boom.
Worked on Qui-Gon.
You went too aggressive.
They say puncture wounds are the worst.
Yeah.
See? That's it.
If you get poked in the thumb, it's way worse than having your thumb cut off. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, trust me. I've been there. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You've had both.
Hey.
I've been there.
You're like, why do you think I'm mic with this one? You got four and just nothing left.
Jab him.
That's why if you listen to it on high volume, you hear on the way down, you hear Maul going, yes! And he's just chuckling.
He's lying! Spider legs!
Yeah.
No, revenge does wonders for the will to live.
Yes.
Don't you think?
I love it.
But no, I mean, I love the... Maul's character in general, what we got.
Maul's
absolutely enhanced the original idea that they had in store for
him. Sure.
Absolutely. And for some people, myself included, that's some of my favorite stuff about Clone Wars and Rebels both, is the Maul character arc, which then also leads us to more of the Mandalorian lore.
Yeah.
All of that comes from the newer Star Wars, elaborate,
so
expanding on these characters. Yeah. Now, that started with the help of George Lucas, which was a great idea, but obviously we got even more when we got Rebels with this character, too.
Definitely.
In some ways, a lot of the new stuff, that's kind of what it's doing. I mean, you can think about, if we think about Tales of the Jedi, that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about it,
it's enhancing these stories, filling the gaps.
It's giving us little clips like, Dooku.
I mean, what's
the motivation
Rogue One?
And the reason.
Yeah.
Rogue One.
What's Andor is now to Rogue One?
Oh, that was.
Andor is
providing
to
pick
Rogue
one.
One
it's hard to pick a favorite.
You mentioned Dooku. That was one of mine because I kind of want to jump in that too. That was one I had on here was now when I watch Phantom Menace, I'm also thinking, and even Qui-Gon's death, Dooku's still he's at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of weird thinking that he's still.
I love learning the timeline of that.
He is still on. He's still with the Jedi. He's still a part of the Order at this time,
right?
And that actually is part of what, you know, from a Sith's perspective, Kylo Ren perspective, freed Dooku to now no longer be attached to the Jedi Order when Qui-Gon was kind of gone. That was kind of the guy that was holding him there, basically. Mm-hmm. With him passing, now he kind of see he was pulled a little easier to the dark side. But Tales of the Jedi, exactly, filling those gaps and enhancing the story and the characters in that way.
We also found out why there's no Yaddle later on.
Yeah, I know.
And who knows what the council knows. Maybe they thought she went out to get some milk and just
never came back.
Hit the open road and
that
said,
Yaddle.
Nope, we're going. She's out of here.
Can't ever count on her.
But, Yeah, no, Tales of the Jedi does a lot of that.
It really does.
A lot of, not just like kind of filling in the gaps, but just making me, this is kind of when I was thinking about this podcast episode in general of like, what are moments or what are even full movies now that I'm like, wow, in a good way, I don't look at this scene the same way. I think of this now because of that, or I think of this. And what's great is with all the different Disney Plus shows and the new films, there's one down the line, there's a lot of different ones. I mean, now I'm thinking today, Uncle, you send to Boba Fett Day?
Yeah.
Today
yeah.
was the, what, the anniversary or how many years since?
1978.
Yep. The prototype, da, da, kind da, of da, white.
Da, da. Prototype white Boba Fett was was created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should say.
Wait a second.
We should say white suit Boba Fett.
White. Hey. Yeah, right.
Wait a second.
White Boba suit. Fett was created.
This guy? Yes. Prototype.
The white suit.
There he is.
There he is.
That's it. So when I think of Boba Fett, the book of Boba Fett, I look at Tusken Raiders differently.
Yes.
Based on that show. Now,
for sure.
I think the show did a good job.
Absolutely.
I think they would have gone maybe too far or wouldn't have maybe fit if they didn't kind of differentiate that. Like the Tusken Raiders said, yeah, some of us are a little more brutal. Some of us. Because I can understand how Anakin's upset. Like Anakin's thinking, like, well, you did this to my mother. I don't think, I don't want to now pretend like you were misunderstood. Like you brutalized my family, and then I slaughtered all the women and the children too,
like animals. I slaughtered them like animals. I hate them. It's okay.
She goes, "Oh, Anakin, do you want to get married?"
Oh, Anakin, we all have bad days.
Yeah, Padme didn't see it coming.
Another bad day at the office. Did I ever tell you about how Jar Jar is running things over at the Senate?
Padme didn't see any of that coming. Completely blindsided.
No red flags.
None. She thought in my mind, 20 minutes from now, I'm going to marry you.
20 minutes from now, I'm going to marry you.
You rascal. You dark-sided rascal.
Let us fight a couple of monsters out in the Coliseum.
You should have told me. I would have helped.
We have a nice couple of Obi-Wan puns and a few monsters in the Coliseum, and you meet me right back here, mister, because we're getting married. She seems to be on top of things. I love what they did with the Tusken Raiders and what they mean to Boba,
cool.
But also I love getting to the culture, getting to see the train sequence is still one of my favorite any of the Disney Plus shows. And then, like a Bantha, and he's going through the whole thing, teaching him how to fight and everything. I love it. Tuskens, yeah. I'll look at them differently. Now, you still have the ones that are little goobers that just shoot at random people that are...
The little kids pod racing?
The pod racers just Annie. Woo, and then just we're going to kill this guy.
Skywalker, take the lead.
Or just finding Luke out on them, just climbing a mountain, just taking them
exactly.
out.
Yeah.
Sand people. Sand people.
I
can see one of them now.
Yeah.
I'm done for.
But
that's what kind of talk is that?
That's in some of the over dramatic 3PO's at his best.
Leave me.
I'm done for.
I do like it though, because like you said, I mean it does they did a good job of differentiating the groups. But it definitely makes you look at those characters differently and knowing
and
that there are
Boba.
Good groups out there, and they taught Boba, and it
they
actually
Boba's
yeah,
stronger
part of
together.
What helped him.
Importance kinda, of a tribe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boba's always been a loner.
Which if you think about it is even though he's not, you know, Mandalorian, is essentially the Mandalorian way as
That's
well.
That's right.
So it's not that far off of
it's
the
true.
Traditional view of Boba Fett
no.
as far as the lore of Mandalore and, mm-hmm. and the family aspect of basically of the creed. Mm-hmm. But
definitely.
Yeah.
You got one? One ready to go?
Yeah. Well, one of them was the just Mandalorian backstory. Obviously, mm-hmm. we have the Mandalorian show, so we've gotten so much more content around the history of Mandalore, their creed, those characters, what that all means. But even just dating back to thinking all that came from just Boba Fett's armor mm-hmm. and how cool it was, but how they're able to take that and grow upon so much and of what some are their favorite characters, like
mm-hmm.
not just bounty hunters, but now we've gotten so much more around it. And like the The sand people, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just complete, like, you can't see Mandalorian armor or, you know, different Mandalorians now without thinking of either the show, but also it always, no matter what they do with Boba Fett's character, it's always going to be like the first thing I think of whenever I see the Mandalorian armor, even if it's not his, if it's some, I'm thinking, man, it's Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Love it. Absolutely. So good.
I'll tell you one for me, which I think has been great, for the Andor series. So we talk about Rogue One, of course, huge, just makes that whole episode four, like, how did it happen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the one character I think Andor has really brought to life is Mon Mothma.
Yes, so much. So.
The, like, who awesome was she? Character. What's her story? The motivation?
Yeah. And there's still more. Where I'm
working,
like,
between
from here to here?
The politics and the... I think it's been fascinating to see with and how that's going to play out.
And yeah, no, I exactly what you're saying. And it's not as almost clean as you think it'd be.
Oh, it's
like,
way uglier.
You see Mon Mothma and how her, and her role in the original and stuff. You're like, oh, she was this politician who played the game, but obviously had her agenda to help the rebels and take down the empire.
Yeah, and at one point she just decided, I'm going to go with those people.
No, it's this is her. No. It's showing her.
She's giving up everything.
Just also not the just risk struggle involved, to make not to struggle not just struggle with that and just the, you know, nature of fighting the empire, but also just the morality of it.
Yeah,
it's a lot deeper than that. It's showing
what
like
kind of actions are justifiable.
Like, yeah, what, like, how much are you willing to do, and at what point is too far, at what point's not? Will we see her cross a lot of these? I mean, we saw Luthen cross some lines, maybe, but how much of that are we going to see from her, and how are we, with season two, are we going to see her change from where we left off with season one to becoming the Mon Mothma that we then see fully on board with the Rebel Alliance?
Right.
Yeah. Luthen with the, I don't know the exact quote. I don't remember the dialogue exactly, but basically his like, you know, using the tactics of the tools of my enemy. To defeat them. Mm-hmm. And like, in the fact that,
what have I sacrificed? Everything.
Like, differentiating, and that's everything. What Mon Mothma struggles with. That's what even we find out, because we didn't know. Because I don't know if Saw Gerrera does struggle with it. Because Saw seems like he should struggle with it a little more sometimes.
Yeah.
Although in
he
I will
does
say
question
Andor,
Luthen, though,
he questions Luthen and thinks, is Luthen going
too
far?
I think it's part of what starts pushing him to realize maybe we need to go further.
But Luthen had that good conversation with the spy on, like, the bridge when they're talking, and that's when you
that
first get anything from Luthen
of, my favorite,
like,
quotes.
Luthen feeling tormented. Basically, like, yeah, we're doing this, and yes, this seems brutal, and absolutely, I do realize that we're fighting for a future I'll never see. Like, that's a,
I'll never see the sun rise. Yeah.
And I love that. I always the debate of, I mean, one, a lot of this stuff obviously plays on just what real life revolution is like, especially, like, if you just go back to, like, colonial revolution or anything like that. Like, it's not like, all right, guys, we finally tallied up, I think we can take them. Like, there's, like, there's this, then there's this, then there's, well, to take this advantage, we did something that normally would feel maybe morally, I'm not sure where, I mean, not to get into too real world stuff, but one of the biggest movies that's coming out is Oppenheimer, and that's going to have some big some big takes on that as well.
Yep.
Of just, you know, what is too far, what's not too far, what. But I love when we're talking Star Wars and, of course, Mon Mothma's character. I thought that the, like, when I see her now in A New Hope, it is different. Even when I see her in her short, you know, appearance in the prequels as well, thinking just, oh, man, I had no idea what your character went through before this, and now I do. Like, I just love looking at characters that, oh, I didn't know you went through this, or that it was this difficult to get to this moment. It just makes her commanding the room and everyone listening to her, not just like, oh, she's just a senator who's talking to everyone. It's like, is someone who's been in the trenches.
That's right.
She's risked as much as any of us. Mm-hmm. She's the one that, if she had been caught, would
we're going to watch her lose everything.
Yeah. We're going to watch it. With her deadbeat of a husband and all that stuff,
man.
Too. It's just, I can't wait for season two.
I know.
I'm excited to rewatch it now.
I think it's my favorite.
It's just so. I was
so
trying
well,
to think when we were
so
talking
well
about Mon Mothma.
All around, it's just so well done.
I was thinking of the different characters when we were saying Mon Mothma, and I was thinking, oh, she might be my favorite character of Andor. And then I thought, but man, Cassian was a great character. Man.
Luthen's great.
Kino Lorre was a great character. Man, Luthen was a great character. Mm-hmm. Saw's stuff was great. Bix was great. Like, there's all these.
Dedra.
Marva.
What a great
Marva. Dedra.
Marva.
Marva having her rally the, you know, fight the Empire speech
got,
and everything.
We got the
like,
little,
oh my
little
gosh.
Mealy mouth Cyril Karn like that.
Oh
like,
my! It just feels like
Andor is just so well done.
I need to rewatch the show now.
Andor is just so well done.
It's awesome.
I'm really excited for season two.
So good.
Love it.
But yeah, I love it. Man. I love the context of this. The additional context. It. I have one real quick because I know I think Uncle's up next, but this is a quick one.
Yeah.
This is not even real canon, I would say anymore. But it added.
Oh, why are we talking?
Well, because here's what I'm saying. Technically. From the
go for it.
Darth
canon.
Plagueis book.
Go for it.
The Darth Plagueis book.
Yeah.
Canon adjacent.
Canon adjacent, as we like to say here.
I love that. This love
canon adjacent.
Canon adjacent.
I love it. That's why I say it.
It is, it has not been disproven. It is not necessarily. It's canon adjacent. I love in Plagueis, the timeline is revealed of Palpatine working with Plagueis and when these events take place, and it's way sooner, way more recent
than I thought.
And what it adds additional context to, or I will never watch Phantom Menace the same again, because he takes on Maul, and like this plant during Phantom Menace, Plagueis is alive. That's what's crazy. Because when you hear it in Revenge of the Sith, you're thinking, oh, this must be like 30 years ago. Like,
yeah.
Because it's an old man we're talking to.
No, it took him a long time to teach him everything he knew.
Everything he knew, and ironic.
I just killed him yesterday.
He's dead. No. But no, so that's it's a thing that now when I watch Phantom Menace, I watch all the events, but I also think, even though it's not on screen, I think, oh, and also in this dark side, you know, cave, Plagueis is over there hooked up to machines trying to preserve and become immortal. Like, literally, this is like all these dark sides.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
secrets of the Sith, cloning, all
Rise
that
of
stuff
Skywalker.
Is actually going on that leads to what happens in Rise of Skywalker. And the events of Rise of Skywalker are you know, that book adds some context, even though it's canon.
It makes the somehow Palpatine return not as like out of the blue, knowing that literally since Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I mean,
he's already been working with Plagueis on those machines.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's funny is I always go kind of back and forth on somehow Palpatine returned, because in the theater, as far as just like if I like it or not, like that choice of the phrase. And what's funny is it very much fits Poe and what they're saying, but also I feel like it's sometimes negatively used from an audience standpoint, like that we're like, oh, I guess we'll never know. Well, Poe didn't sit in on the Anakin Palpatine opera conversation that we did. So we're supposed to already see that those pieces have been laid out. From
right.
We're supposed
Palpatine
to be the ones
saying,
putting the pieces
oh, this
together.
Is, you know, and he secrets, you know, and he's talking about how he was really close to discovering the secret and he taught him everything he knew.
But if you're
and all
Poe,
this stuff.
Yeah, that's how else do you put it?
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow in return, I have no idea.
Poe's never seen Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
So I do think that a lot of people, and even there's times when I'm like, ah, man, I wish that I would have gotten a little more on screen. Now, we've read some books that have gone into a little bit more of you know, Shadow of the Sith and things that actually happen. But that's one of those that I think is sometimes maybe misunderstood, or just like, just because the person doesn't understand doesn't mean that we were supposed to be completely in the dark, because we've seen stuff that the character hasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my soapbox.
I like your soapbox.
Who has boxes of soap?
I don't know.
And who stands
on them? It's a thing.
I know.
The biggest thing.
We should
have an
actual soapbox so we can
stand
on. The Last Jedi is the best movie.
I
Get
just
want to.
I want to see
stand
a little box. This is. I want someone like a, whether it's like a Family Guy style of like an animated little clip.
Yeah.
Someone make out there. Someone taking out their box of soap and go, oh, and they're taking that little. I just thought of something. They put it on the floor and then they. Standing.
Look at
him.
Stand on that.
Oh, he's standing on his guy. This guy's on his soapbox.
He must
the
be
thing is,
serious.
It is a little 3-inch.
I think it was big in the past.
Yeah,
people used big bars of soap back then.
It's the big.
Like the Fred Flintstone bars of soap.
Now that's different. Yeah. Well, that's a, yeah. If your dinosaur is also your shower head, you can stand on a soapbox all
year. Okay, the Flintstones is a, that's a whole other, that's a conundrum. Like, they have telephones. but they're shaped like shells. Like, how can you have a telephone?
How do we have this technology?
You're calling people on a shell. How can that even work?
But we don't have engines. We don't have. We have feet. That's how our cars. They were feet. We but don't have a shower head.
But you have cars.
You have cars. So close. You're so close.
They figured out the telephone.
They got the telephone
but
down.
But not the shower head.
It's a shell. Well, how does that work?
Not the shower head. Or the, but yeah.
Brilliant.
It's true.
So
it's
great.
It's true.
Okay, how about this one? What Grogu has brought to the original or the prequels. The whole thing about being in the temple when they come to kill all the younglings. That whole connection there and him being through all of this stuff has been kind of shifted the way we think. Like, wait, he was there all the time? It's pretty...
He was there, and Keller and Beck got him out of there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's funny you said that because I put that down too, and in a sense that it's enhanced the species of the Yoda species because Yoda was already mysterious. And, you know, intentionally, you know, an unnamed species.
Right.
George kind of wanted there to be a mystery element and not give you the answers to everything. And Disney's held true to that for that species. They don't intend, as far as I know, I think Filoni and them came out saying we have no intention of giving the answer of that. We want it to remain that way.
Come on.
I think that's like something that was near and dear to George's heart.
Right.
To keep that. Yeah,
because I saw a clip recently of an old interview of George saying like, "No, that's something like we don't need to know more about." Like it was just that
it adds to the mystery of the galaxy
thing, and he didn't want to over-explain it.
It kind of makes him more when you define it. It kind of, I don't know. It's part of what makes him almost viewed as that much higher of a Jedi and stuff. When there's not a lot of them, you don't know as much about them. But adding Grogu to that. And still not knowing those answers almost makes it even more like we, because what did it do when we all saw Grogu? We're like, what?
Is it?
What does this mean? There's how many more of them are out there? Like, it adds so much more, I guess, wonder to the universe and that species specifically about what is truly out there. Where do they come from? It just adds so much. I don't know.
It is true.
It adds more. It basically took what George wanted with Yoda and just added so much more to it. And I guess, as our title says, enhances that aspect of the original because it makes you wonder if there's another one. How is it that there's this powerful? Yeah. There are they all Force users? Like, what what does it mean?
That's true.
All right.
Just the
It's the only three we've ever seen are all Force users.
Yeah. Just the decision to powerful. Have it be just the decision to have Grogu be that species made it so powerful. I was just thinking if we were as a audience watching and the thing opened and it was like a little human child, you would just be like, oh, who is that? But immediately when we saw the ears, we went, what? Like, it was just
like we assumed it was a jet. We assumed
even if
it was
an unknown alien we've
it's
never
simple.
Seen.
Right.
The fact that it's a connection to Yoda, like as far as the species, we immediately then go, oh, it's got to be a Force user. Cause, obviously, and then the next episode, we find out he is a Force user.
Yeah.
He is.
No, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
But you're right, too, as far as the story as well. Not just like our speculation and wonder behind the species, but the actual character of him now dating back to the original or the prequel.
It's one of
the
things
Jedi
I
Temple,
like.
And you're like, oh, man.
When you mentioned Plagueis, like, oh, wait, I love it when you go, oh, wait, in this time, they are there.
Yeah.
They're out there somewhere.
And that's part of the stuff I love. Like, I don't necessarily need to be, for instance, I don't need to go watch the prequels and see Grogu's like pod floating in the background as like a cameo and be like, oh, see, he was there all along.
I don't need that.
Just knowing that it's almost more, it's almost cooler knowing like not seeing it on the screen originally and then getting more information on the story and thinking he was there when this was happening. Mm-hmm. He lived through that. How'd he get out?
Mm-hmm.
Like that was kind of all of our questions in the first season and second season. So I like when they do that stuff. It's not necessarily cameos of things that we saw originally, but adding to the, wow, this was there. Like, for instance, Dooku, like he was still around when Qui-Gon died. Like it just adds so much more to it.
Yeah. I love it. I've got one and I wonder what our take is on this one. Are there any, before I say this, are there any things? Let's get this out correctly.
Think it through.
Are there any things that have been created, added in the new Star Wars that you think makes you think about an old moment or an old movie differently, but you're not sure if you like it or not? Or something that you're like, oh man, I know that this is now supposed to change my view of this moment or this fight or this, but I don't know if it's sunk in yet. And so here's my example, and we can see if we have any more. I'm not saying this is negative. I wonder how we feel about this. The fact that Palpatine returns in Rise of Skywalker, Do we feel any differently watching the big battle in Return of the Jedi and watching him go over the edge? Even though, like we've said, as a kid, I always thought, he probably didn't. But obviously, the way it was originally written in the film was that was, even if we thought it was kind of a weak way to go out, that was supposed to be that was it. That was the big defeat of the Empire, defeat of Palpatine. Do we feel any certain ways, like when we watch that, do we feel differently now knowing, he's defeated, but he's going to come back? So the reason I bring this up is I think there's my personal feelings are I'm not sure if I feel different about it yet because I don't know, like, I've watched it and thought of it one way so long. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a major moment in Star Wars. And that this is the most recent Star Wars movie in Rise of Skywalker that I don't know if, like, obviously I've connected the two. But I'm not sure if it's sunk in yet when I'm watching that. But that also, I don't think it's necessarily, that cheapens this or this, that. Because in my mind, defeating the biggest evil of all time forever is a massive victory. Also a massive victory is ridding the galaxy of the biggest evil of all time for 30 years. Like, this is the tyrant who literally we brought down the Empire and we banished him for 30 years. We'll be without him until he, with dark magic and cloning, has some configuration of himself with clones and comes back for a brief while, and then we immediately destroy that also. Like, he didn't get to do anything, really, when he came. I mean, I guess, technically, he did a lot because the First Order, so I'll take that back. That was kind of also a late addition, but... I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Is it one that you think of as being like, I feel differently about the original moment?
We watched Jedi because the 40th anniversary. Yeah. We just rewatched it. I don't think it had any impact on it for me.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in some ways it enhances it. I was always troubled by, I'm the one who said, I didn't. Love, like, it doesn't make sense. The most powerful being would fall down a shaft and there would be an explosion. And then that's
it. You're like, we just saw him shooting lightning out of his fingers.
Didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But then watching later, we see, he didn't die. So, and I have this weird theory about being a clone, whatever. But what it also makes me think of is that in that moment, it's the fear is not the same for him. That's why he can stand there and say, good, to strike me down. He doesn't even flinch because he knows there's an avenue back.
Yeah.
It actually explains why he's so comfortable with it because he's not going to die. It's like, I got an avenue back. I got something you don't know about that I can come back from.
Yeah.
So I see that now. That makes total sense. That's why he's so comfortable.
Interesting. You know what I mean? Definitely.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I don't think it's changed my view of it at all, really, from in Return of the Jedi, just partly because it is a big time gap. Like, if he just turned up the next day, then it might be like, if we would have just seen one more day of this story, we would have seen him back, but it ended a day early of what we were told.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's
you slipped out the back.
Long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time later, and it was written in a way that he was basically died, and then the cloning and stuff is what allowed, and the Sith magic is what really allowed him to
somehow
come back. So I don't think, when I watch that, I kind of agree in the sense that I always thought, like, that was kind of weak. I knew the Emperor was like the big bad because Vader bowed to him, but I never saw him originally. Like, I always saw Vader as that.
Me too.
So I never really looked at
him. You saw
him
Vader,
and
if he could take him, if he had his mind right and wanted
to take him. If Vader wasn't
so
manipulated by him, I always saw Vader as the big bad.
Me too.
Like, never Palpatine, even though Vader bowed to him, you know, and he was his master. I never actually saw that. And part of the reason is because of how it ended for him.
Yeah.
I thought, he was just a master manipulator, and he was powerful enough, but I always thought if Vader actually wanted to take him on, he could.
We didn't see the lightning till the very end.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He didn't really
so,
do it.
To yeah. me, it kind of it made sense the way he went out. It was because I never really saw him as that most powerful. But then now seeing him come back, like you said, it kind of enhances like, oh, well, part of it is because if you, now it makes more sense as to why Vader was, you know, maybe more afraid
Vader
of him
couldn't
than he
come
thought,
back.
You know, because of that.
Vader
so,
couldn't do it.
Yeah, so I think there's it definitely enhances some of that, sure. But I don't think I look at that scene really that much differently, at least in a negative light.
I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, think about it. That came after Plagueis and all this stuff, and all the stuff about searching for a way to bring people back to life. This came out, it makes total sense that he would come back. That was his whole
entire
purpose.
His pitch it in just his pitch to
that's the most logical step.
Yeah. You think Anakin's going to get this pitch to come to the dark side and not challenge or at least not actually like work on it?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, obviously
pitch,
Palpatine's
we thought
been
he was trying
to do that
fool
for,
him. Yeah. But no, he really had it in this pocket.
No, we actually it wasn't just hey, you come here and I'll dangle this carrot. Yes, I can dangle
I have
you
what
with
you're asking for, but it's not quite what you think. It's not bringing back
Padme.
I'm
not
going
to give it to you.
That's also what it is.
The way you expect.
It is.
It's a twisted truth.
We can discover the secret, but also you're not getting it.
No,
the secret's for me.
No.
Because it's going to be more powerful.
Well, we know as soon as the master gives the secret, what is this?
Then he kills the master.
Yeah. So he can't.
I wanted to see.
It's a twisted truth. There's truth in it, but he was a manipulative thing.
For sure.
I think it's the perfect outcome.
I want to see that the special edition scene. I don't know if you guys know this. The extra special edition
scene.
They
show him.
Oh,
where he's talking and he says, your overconfidence is your weakness. And he says, there are 10 more of me in the garage. He's just like, I'm not worried about this. Who knows? He might be.
Can do this all
he might be one of those things where he's.
You just see this.
He's sitting there and he goes out and gives the best speech, the best.
Lord Vader.
And he goes and talks to him, and then all of a sudden he cracks his knuckles, and a different guy in the back starts stretching. He jogs out there, and then he sits in the throne.
I'll be back in a moment.
And they're like the Praetorian guards, the Imperial guards.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that he's got extra pep in his step today? Like, and they have no idea that they're just, it's a turnstile. They're just switching
that mole
out.
Wait, weren't you just
what
right?
Mole?
Has he always had a Scottish accent?
Didn't I just see you in the trash compactor? How'd you get here so quick?
He's like, you're taller today.
What are you doing over there? He's like, when did he talk like Shrek? When did this happen? How do we already know about Shrek? That won't come out for another 20 years.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the extra special edition.
Any character that has not been, like, nothing's changed. Like
if we've gotten more and we're like, we don't need more.
Right. Anybody sticks out? Like, what we learned about Han Solo, does that enhance, take away?
Oh, I think it enhances.
Think?
I like the fact
that he's a terrible father that made him a better.
Oh, no, sorry. I was actually going to say.
He's talking about Solo.
I was actually saying Solo.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a terrible father.
Makes him that much better.
He's so good. He's so a good. Scoundrel.
I'm so glad their marriage didn't work out.
No, he completely backtracked and for the better.
No, I was thinking of Solo.
Solo.
That his, I like seeing.
That's good, too.
I like seeing the take the world by storm. There's still that in later Han, but we find out why he's hardened and why he's closed off and why he is the way that he is.
Smug
And he did shoot first.
He did shoot first.
Woody.
So
he learned.
Solo, Ron Howard's like, we're going to get this
we're
one,
gonna
right?
We're going to fix this one.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Even though George is one of my best friends, George, he is shooting first.
He is shooting first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that I think there's definitely.
Talked about Leia. What about Luke?
Oh, talked about Han.
Probably the
one
most
last
controversial.
Thing of Han. One last thing of Han. I mean, if we said, are there any that you're like, oh, I didn't necessarily, it's hard to say I didn't need something. There's nothing I need from Star Wars. But finding out that a guard gave him the name Han.
Right.
What's a family name?
Solo. When I was watching theater, Solo. I thought, kind of just. Like thinking that he was always Han Solo.
But
it's all right. I mean, it's one of those that I'm not saying it's a negative. If you ask something that it's an additional piece
if
of
if you're Han, why would you be like, yeah, I'll roll with it?
His dad's name was Don.
Don
Solo.
Don Solo. Don and his twin brother Ron.
This is my son Han.
Man, I couldn't have a regular name. Gosh. Yeah, Don and Ron. These are both real names.
David.
You give me Han.
This is my David Solo.
No, you're
Solo.
Right. That wasn't my favorite.
Hope
my
Solo. Favorite. Yeah.
I would say Luke's probably the most controversial just because of Some people loved where the story went, and some people didn't, and it is what it is.
You're right. I mean, Nate's right. Some people loved the way that Luke's story was told, and some people are wrong. So it's you're right, though. It's that's what Nate said, right? That's what I heard. Is that what he said?
Did I mention that Luke was never my favorite?
Ooh.
Ooh. Said it.
Shame.
He wasn't.
Shame.
Han was always my favorite.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you see episode four first, Luke is kind
four
of a...
Four fast. Watch
fast.
It.
Watch it five times fast.
Hey,
Luke,
what's that
Luke was kind of a whiny kid. Yeah. And Han Solo was the cool gunslinger. I always liked him better.
Han was epitome of cool, for sure.
I got one who didn't change, but for that reason, I love it.
Greedo?
No, Chewie.
All the new.
Oh, yeah.
Chewie's just been.
Chewie's always been loyal.
He's always had Han's back, been loyal.
Yeah.
And he came from royalty.
He did.
Basically, he came from, he was on the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Side by side with Master Yoda.
They are doing the Chewie movie where everything's in.
Yeah.
Wookiees.
They well, they're doing. I heard it was based off of the overwhelming, you know, positive reaction they got from the first 12 minutes of.
Well, yeah.
12. I wish it was only 12.
I know the first 25 minutes of.
Let's do this a little bit
special.
Go ahead. I was gonna say one person has made Star Wars better. That's Kathleen Kennedy.
Yes. Type. In the comments below.
I was just reading. One of the topics we thought about today was I like to throw out topics, whether they're true or not, just to see. One of them was how Rogue One saved the Star Wars franchise. I don't know if it did. But in my looking to prove my theory right, it's like, oh, I'm going to think of this and then prove it.
Ask ChatGPT. How did Rogue One
a great one.
Save the Star Wars franchise?
And then turns out that... They brought it. Tony Gilroy was brought in to rewrite
for Gareth Edwards.
Kathleen Kennedy was the one who brought him in to do the rewrite, which facilitated the whole Darth Vader scene.
Yeah,
all the stuff we love about it. Which Kathy Kennedy said, "I'm not settling for this. I'm pulling the plug. We're going to reshoot. We're going to redo this to get it right. Without her, we don't get this. We don't. You don't know the thousands of ways that her fingerprints." Are all over these things, and then she backs off and lets everybody
that was
be the
one
star.
Of the starts of the infamous Star Wars hallway scenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we're getting them left and right.
Right, right.
But then we got the Vader scene, which was just iconic in Rogue One, and then we're getting Luke basically kind of mimicking that in Mando, the hallway scene.
And Uncle, to add on to your point, for the folks at home, does anyone know, has Tony Gilroy done anything Star Wars related since? for all of you who love Andor, he is the one who is solely responsible. I mean, solely responsible. He is the showrunner.
He's
writer,
the only one who worked on.
He is every actor
does it all.
He is the writing celebrity apprentice. No, never made a deal
with Gendry.
Gendry.
You can't trust those little freaks. When Han says, I was like, "What was that line?"
You can't trust those little freaks.
JJ.
One of the
what was that?
One of the things I like, not necessarily character related, but. Definitely adds to it, I would say, enhances the old Star Wars.
Just got the little blanket.
I'm loving
tucked
it.
In and give us some it's coffee or something.
Special effects.
Pajamas. You want to get pajamas?
Yeah, that too. That well.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
The special effects and how it's developed over time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the special effects and stuff are way better now than the originals.
Yeah.
But in a sense. When you go back and watch them, rather than looking at the originals thinking, man, this looks terrible compared to what they are now, which obviously, with technology advancing, looks a lot better now, it actually makes me look back. I rewatch the originals, I'm like, what George did in creating this was crazy because now I see what continuing to get better with the technology, the volume, everything that they're doing. I'm like, he started this in motion with the idea of the lightsaber, creating all that, basically, and creating
everything
ILM, from scratch, doing all of that. Now I watch the originals, and it almost makes me appreciate it even more in the technology advancements that were done because of that, and then seeing how far we've come with the new stuff.
I don't know.
So
here's a cool challenge for you. Those of you with 4K televisions or better, high frame rate. Here's the thing. We were watching episode 4.
Yeah.
If you go on Disney Plus, of course, the bitrate on Disney Plus is a little lower than like a Blu-ray. But if you go on Disney Plus and you watch episode 4, it is the best looking Star Wars movie of all of them. You're like, really? Yeah. Because remember, they went back and did that original restoration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put that, it looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
So perfect. Yeah. And I just thought it was interesting because that's enhancing the old. I love it because we went and compared it. Like, this looks better than episode 9. Just
I really do. The detail of it,
the quality, the way that they went back and fixed it all, the coloring, everything. It looks unbelievable.
It makes you not just admire what the originals are, but how far it's all come because of the vision that George had in starting it all.
Yeah.
So good. I love it. No, there's... It's exciting because with every new thing that's coming out, especially where they are story-wise, kind of where things are headed. I mean, we have the Ahsoka show coming out.
Ah.
That is going to add... Ah. That's for sure going to add moments to... What's great is we've now... There's even
old
more...
Hayden Christensen.
Old Hayden Christensen's going to show up and he's going to say, hey, hello, Anaheim. I love Star Wars. Star Wars. He's just always in Star Wars Celebration. And then for some reason, Tobey Maguire shows up and says, my upper lip is kind of looking like a duck bill these days because it doesn't move too much. But
My back,
it's back stiff from all the lightsaber training, I guess.
Lightsaber training, I guess.
It's just a random connection. It has nothing to do with Star Wars. But the Ahsoka show is now to add even to Rebels. Which is great because Rebels is the new.
Right.
But now we have even new to the new. Just like we had Andor adding to Rogue One.
Right. Not to mention Clone Wars. Not to mention the prequels. Not to mention what Rebels did for Vader's character.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
Oh, there's a headline. The Rebels saved the Darth Vader character. Boom. 100,000 likes.
100,000 likes.
100,000 likes. I feel us getting rich.
No, but the Ahsoka Vader fight scene.
Oh god!
The breaking of the mask completely inspired what we saw in Kenobi. Right.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much that came from it, but
I am what
just
remains.
That connection of knowing how much it just added so much depth to Vader and his character.
Yeah.
Not just the connection with Obi-Wan, but also having the Padawan of Ahsoka and her leaving. Mm-hmm. It just was another thing that just piled up on his sort of anger and disagreement with the council and
Yeah. When I watched Return of the Jedi, I now know for a fact that Max Rebo did not die on the sail barge. I know that he will play.
That's true.
He will play later in Tatooine, and he'll see the short run of Boba Fett as crime lord.
That's right.
Very short run. Not because he couldn't do it. He didn't want to.
Right.
Which he could have maybe thought about if he wanted to. Yeah. Time. But... he did rid them of the pikes. Pikes were coming in.
Max Rebo rid them of the pikes.
Max Rebo.
Max Rebo is a liberator.
He's a spy.
He's a musician. He's classically
always
trained,
in the shadows.
And he's a liberator.
He's a liberator.
Yeah. That's I want a dark Max Rebo working his way up. I want to see when he was just had a bucket on the street, a little...
He's playing in the subway.
He's playing. He's in the subway. That's what I want to see. He's just
going. You're going places,
buddy.
Why so blue?
Why so blue?
So good.
I love it. We got any more, Nate?
I don't know. Let me check.
3PO.
Let me check.
3PO got some love.
And
I
want
to pass luck right at my friends.
R2.
Probably don't recognize me, sir, with a red arm.
Right.
I thought 3PO had some of his best moments.
He did. I do think so.
You didn't say my name, sir, but I'm all right.
But I'm all right.
One of them is just bringing some of the animated characters to life.
Yeah.
Seeing them now once we're getting all the Rebels characters live
Cad
action.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean,
I saw someone ask the other day, do we think we're going to get a lot of Zeb in the show or not really? And the reason why is they teased him and showed him, but it is like a fully, like, very high depth. It's like Josh Brolin as Thanos. Like, it, like this is
the
a
technology
high
they
tech,
did. Yeah.
Animated, you know, CGI character that might just be expensive to have him in a lot of the show.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get
if he's
much,
not. Maybe you get a scene
any,
or two,
yeah.
and he's separate.
Yeah,
kind of.
I think so.
I think
he's
they
not shown any of the trailers.
I think they maybe think intentionally
either, no.
showed that he is with this group.
Yeah, so he
would. Yeah,
newer,
so you could explain why he's not.
That makes sense.
To
yeah,
to kind of show that he is helping in this area of yeah.
Yeah,
good team no, up with Mando.
I think he'll be in it because they're gonna want to. I feel like they're gonna want to show all the Rebels characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna want to show them all in this because it essentially is a continuation of Rebels.
On the ghost.
But so I think we'll see him. Maybe even all together, at least most of them, maybe together. So I think we'll see Zeb encounter the other, at least some of the other Rebels characters, but probably won't be in it a ton.
Man.
If I had to guess.
I mean,
but who knows?
The character
Can't
of
wait.
Live action Thrawn is building on not only Rebels, but also
yeah.
early 1990s Thrawn that a lot
enhancing
of
the old.
In.
Yeah.
Enhancing the old, even though that's, it was like, you know, canon at the time, not really canon as much now, but then a lot of those ideas have been taken in. Obviously, the character
yeah.
itself directly taken into the Filoni stuff. But, yeah, I'm so
– well,
I feel like we haven't really even talked about Ahsoka a ton that it's right around the corner.
I forgot about Owen and Baruch. Like,
oh, Owen and Baruch's
characters.
Man. Like the way that
yeah.
they took on
yeah.
what we saw of them, that was
– That was
– Oh, them taking them – standing up to
yeah,
Reva,
fight Inquisitor, yeah. Inquisitors. That whole storyline.
Yes, that definitely added a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about when I see the Lars household. When I see their place. I don't think Inquisitors with lightsabers have been here trying to.
That's right. They fought them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. They fought Inquisitor, but unfortunately, a stormtrooper got him in the end.
I know that does. That's
but
got him good.
folks, a storm, come on. Storm's coming off the coast. That storm, Cooper Trooper, come on. Mini Cooper, school car, James Bond, come on.
James Bond.
It's like a constant game of just connect the dots. Just let's go.
It's the 7 degrees of Joe Biden.
Oh.
It's the Kevin Bacon, except it's just you
gotta. I got one.
Connect.
I got one. I got one last one.
Come on. No, I shouldn't.
Oh.
Come on.
The at least as far as my list goes, enhancing the old, the parallels, because what is a Star Wars Guys podcast without mentioning The Last Jedi?
Ooh,
the parallels of
yeah.
Luke in hiding, Yoda, his master, in hiding,
yeah.
the lessons to be learned, him mm-hmm. coming back,
mm.
Yoda coming back, having that conversation, arguably my favorite quote in all of Star Wars about
greatest teacher failure is.
It's mm-hmm. just the message wise is just so good. All of that just enhances everything. Yoda's character and also mm-hmm. Just coming back.
Yeah.
But also just Luke and the overall theme of what Star Wars and what George's vision for Star Wars was, and that there's themes throughout Star Wars, but the overarching thing has always been to provide hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that and in a nutshell, is the essence of the Star Wars message, is that scene in that movie. So seeing that with the quotes, Yoda, between Yoda, Luke, the parallels of them in hiding, Luke basically doing what he saw his master do,
mm-hmm.
and then only to find out it was wrong later and learn another lesson from him, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, we could do, and we have, I believe. Full podcast on that.
We have.
Let's do it again.
Why we love
Let's
The Last
do it
Jedi.
Now.
But yes, I would say that absolutely
enhances the connection
between those two, but also mm-hmm. just the Star Wars message. What Star Wars
well,
is
the
about.
Message of, I mean, the scene of Vader, of Luke looking at his hand and holding the lightsaber about to strike down Vader.
Yeah.
When Vader's hand's missing and Luke's about to strike him down. And you hear that, and then he throws it, and I'll never turn to the dark side. That whole thing.
Yeah.
And the way it's even shot. Like, I think so many, mm-hmm. I get frustrated a little bit when I feel like even, not that people have to agree with me on Star Wars. Have your own opinions, for sure. Just make sure they're right.
He says that as no, earlier. He says, you either love The Last Jedi, those who love The Last Jedi, and those who are wrong.
Right. Having said that.
Having said that,
let's argue about the facts.
Yeah,
let's still get the facts wrong.
That's the thing. I get frustrated is that it's if we see the same thing and we just interpret differently, that's great.
Yeah,
but people acting like there is no basis. It's unequivocally this has never been set up. Filoni is the one I believe who even says that Lucas said the same thing that in that moment. You are supposed to feel, and it is real, that Luke could turn to the dark side in that moment.
Yeah.
Filoni says that. Filoni said in that roundtable that in that moment, Luke can and is about to turn to the dark side.
Yes.
That is the final moment. The Emperor is laughing like a second too early because it kind of almost snaps him out of it. But, like, that is the moment where the Emperor's like, I've got you. You are doing exactly what your father did, except now you are the better model. That now I was going to take him and replace him and get him out, and now I've finally got my fully armed apprentice that I need, and it's in that moment that he stopped.
Pun intended.
Although he's not fully hand, he's fully armed. He's got his arms, but that hand. Some of the Skywalkers in their hands, but
they keep losing
in that moment. It is supposed to feel like that. So when you get people who I struggle. When someone will say, like, the Luke Skywalker that we saw in the original trilogy would never do the, and a lot of people will go to this extreme of saying, like, he would never think about murdering his nephew. Okay. If you watch the scene, one, I contest with the idea that Luke, he didn't sit down with a bunch of notes and go, pros and cons of murdering my nephew. That's not what happened. He didn't sit down and think, I don't know. Should I do it? Should I not? It was, he's looking into his mind. He's searching with the Force, and he sees horror, destruction, repeating of the past, death, this, maybe even Han dying, like all these things, boom, boom, boom. And then that causes him, like out of fear, he ignites his saber and he's sitting there. And before it's even too late, it says it passed like, a shadow, boom. And he looks and he's scared and he's looking up at him. And then he realizes, oh, no, he thinks I'm not. And it's like a misunderstanding. It's like, I was scared. I'm not. Doing this, that's the Ben telling the story,
that's
is
the
that
Ben
he
vision.
Says
right.
Ben's doing this. And then the real telling of the story is somewhere in between. He did ignite it because he was scared, and then he was felt shame about it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was him having the same fear he had when he tried to kill his own father because he threatened his sister. So it's... To say he would never do that, he did try to kill. If you think he wouldn't kill his nephew, he did try to kill his own father.
Well, like, he was instructed to.
Yeah,
by his master.
His master literally said, "Well, if you don't,"
he was instructed.
Arguably,
by both masters.
You could argue,
Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Yeah,
you could argue he would have solved a lot of problems if he killed Ben.
And now I will say,
he would have saved billions and billions
now,
of people.
Now I
would
will
have turned
say,
to the dark side.
Imagine Hitler by blowing up.
Luke would be a Sith.
Now,
20
I will say,
yeah.
For anyone who wants to take the argument,
billions of people.
For anyone who wants to take the argument, and I do say this is fair to play devil's advocate, that Luke
can
having
I play,
gone
I'll
only
play
through,
devil.
Okay, you can play devil.
I'll play advocate.
Okay, devil advocate.
Okay, go ahead. Where's my box?
Yeah, it's gosh. Soap. I need to pick that soap box off my shoe, scrape it off, a tiny little soap. Like nice little hotel soaps is what I'm using. But to play devil's advocate, I do understand, and there's some truth to the fact that maybe, yes, Luke has that moment in Return of the Jedi, so maybe it would be less likely, or you feel like he would have learned from that his father, even Darth Vader, could come back.
I beg to differ.
That maybe he wouldn't lose hope that his saying this is not going to go the way you think, although it is true that Luke was never going to be able to turn him back. It was only that Rey was going to be able to do it, just like Luke was. Obi-Wan was never going to be able to get Anakin back.
And I think it's even more than that. I think it was.
So I do understand that maybe someone can say that, but differ. Yeah.
I would argue it was Luke's naivete that caused him to not kill Vader. He was naive enough to think that he could turn him. He was right. He was naive, but he was right.
But he was actually...
By sparing him. That was naive. I think that was naive.
And it was actually not...
Vader's not going to turn. But
it was not
right.
His pleading with him that
he was
did
right.
It until
right.
The Emperor then
Father,
started hurting
please.
Luke.
Right.
And it wasn't like he said, come on, Father. And he said, it's too late for me. It's too late for me.
It is
like,
too late.
Right. And so he wasn't listening to it. It was only the moment of when, okay, now Vader is watching his son die.
Yeah.
And that
am
it's
I going
the
to
Emperor,
let this happen?
This is sacrifice.
That the Emperor actually, if the Emperor had left Luke alone and was like, guards, take him. I don't think Vader would have done anything.
No.
Not
no.
yet, at least.
No.
Nope, it was the moment when he actually saw him dying, and then he snapped out that
so
a little bit of good in him.
I think yep. Luke, when he was standing, I think he was more in tune with the Force. I think he had a better understanding of seeing future events, tapping into what might be coming. And he saw the full evil of what was coming
yeah.
and reacted. It true. Could even be that what he was seeing was so mixed in with reality that it seemed real at the moment.
Yeah, like it's like...
This is happening. Wait, no, this is
I saw a great, wait, wait, great example of that happening. Saying that he his ignition of the lightsaber is actually a reaction to the visions he's seeing.
Yeah.
He's
like
seeing
he's
this happen, and he's in the moment seeing
trying
this,
to defend himself.
And he's igniting right. the saber thinking, I can't let this happen. And then he ignites the saber,
but he's
he looks down,
moment.
And he sees his nephew and then thinks, no.
Realizes that's him.
So it was actually him yeah. looking down at Ben.
Yeah.
Because if you watch it, he's looking at his saber.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having these visions. He's looking at his saber. He ignites a saber out of
seeing
reaction
the
of vision. The, seeing the yeah. visions. But then when he looks at his nephew, he thinks, "No, Ben. Like,
yeah,
I'm not. It's not towards you.
Right.
In a sense, it's towards what scared me. In the
yeah, it was
I
something
saw.
Else.
Mm. I don't
love
know.
It. This is one of the reasons.
Last
why
Jedi's great.
Last Jedi is one of my favorite Star Wars.
You
got to
go deeper. You can't
that's
watch
the thing
it up here.
I
you
gotta love
get in.
That we
you
are
to,
still
which is
having
not
discussions.
The typical Star Wars movie.
Nah,
I love that we're having discussions now 6 years later about even what does that scene even mean? Mm-hmm. Why did he ignite it? Why did like those are the discussions I love having about it is because it is so deep. We've talked about it. As much as I love all the Star Wars movies, and even there's some original Star Wars movies that, if you ask me right now, that I might rank ahead of The Last Jedi. To me, The Last Jedi is the deepest Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
As far as
oh, yeah.
what it's trying to make you think about, what is in each scene, what is... I mean, George even says he's trying to be simple with the first ones. Like,
yeah.
there are big themes and big, but it's supposed
yeah,
to be
supposed
recognizable
to be a quick
themes,
action.
Motifs, stuff
yeah.
that you recognize. But in a different dressing,
different world,
in this
yeah.
space western type of a thing, where this is like big philosophy. Again, now as a parent too, having this, you know, the parent to child relationship, or the teacher to you know the master to the student relationship,
yeah.
the burden of the overcoming failure stuff. Obviously, as someone who's you know, my job is in athletics, and all of us have played sports at different age groups. One of the biggest things you learn in sports, and why I think sports, whether you want to play sports or not, one of the things I think is one of the most valuable is learning that, yeah, that I don't know a single athlete, including Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, the mm-hmm. greatest athletes of all time, Tiger Woods, who don't lose more than they win.
Yeah.
And even the ones who are the best, Tiger Woods loses way more, even in his prime.
Right.
Way more than he actually wins
yeah.
as far as total tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're so good because the losing does.
And what
the,
do you learn
the,
from
what
that?
Do you respond? What do you learn from it? Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
And it was Kobe who said, like, he was motivated way more, not by the feeling of winning, not by the jubilation of a win, and not like, oh, I want to just chase that. It's the way he felt when he lost of, I don't want to experience that again. So if I'm going to lose, I'm not going to lose like that because I'm going to learn from it. And I'm going
yeah.
to,
yeah.
again, if I lose because I tried something different or I took a shot and it doesn't work out, we can live with it.
Right.
But I love that as far as it relates to Star Wars of, you know, the greatest teacher failure is. And so I love seeing Luke, who we thought of this kind of, I wouldn't say perfect character back then, but especially for my generation, he was like, oh, Luke Skywalker was like he was the hero that I grew up with because it was like he is the ultimate hero. And even though he wasn't perfect then, seeing him have his struggles kind of helps you feel good. A little bit like not like, oh, I feel good because other people are down. But like when we're
that's why I think
humans
it's the best
who go
message.
Through ups and downs.
That's why I think it's
like
the
that,
best
that
message.
Feel like, oh, even the hero I looked up to has their moments,
yeah.
their really low moments. And he does the most heroic thing ever, and sparks new hope in the galaxy.
Right.
One final time.
Yeah.
So Rey can take the torch, and I love that more than him being a video game character who's reached immortal status. Who, oh, call all right, on Luke. You want to me to the destroy day. The exactly. First Order? All right, let me pull all the scars. You know, let me throw right. A moon. Let me kill him the same way Chewbacca died.
Throw a moon.
Let's throw a moon. And wigs.
And yeah. Moons.
For the death of Chewbacca, check one of our previous episodes. If you
yeah.
Know. But I love it. Last Jedi, love it.
Love yeah, it. I definitely think there's... Yeah.
Connections, how here. New Star Wars enhances the old.
There you have it.
It just does. Doesn't mean every moment plays perfectly.
Does.
Doesn't
does
mean
it.
Every moment is perfect.
That doesn't mean every moment's perfect. Doesn't mean everything
why,
lines up perfectly.
Why even
but.
In the original trilogy. Yeah, it is weird that Leia says she always knew. George kind of didn't have the best writing on that. If, yeah, somehow I always knew. Flashback to...
No, you didn't.
Flashback to the previous episode
infant.
And they're kissing.
Right.
Why? Yeah. If you already knew.
You always
Luke's
knew?
Like, I didn't know.
Interesting.
Didn't know. What'd you kiss me for? What'd you kiss me for?
Huh?
So, like example, that would be...
Yeah.
There's,
yeah.
There's the funny little lines of... we made the joke about Palpatine going like, I'm not afraid. I've got 10 in me in the garage.
Right.
Or you know... Years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars. Also, you and I spent a nice weekend vacation together,
right.
Running away from Flea. There's always those moments that you feel like, they don't. It's but it's what is. It doesn't have to have every single puzzle piece fit perfectly because they're told in different times by different people. It's what is the story trying to tell?
Yeah,
you?
Don't
What's
go
the
to
overarching.
Don't watch the movie with a checklist.
No,
it's not bingo.
Don't think
oh,
those 99 out of 100.
One. Ooh, I got
this
that
is
one.
A bad movie because
yeah.
That right. One edge doesn't fit perfectly. It's,
no, I definitely
what's
think.
It, what's the story make you feel?
There's so many things that enhance it, and I get it. There's moments that maybe you look at now differently in a way that maybe you didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, there's much more from what I've seen and what I gather from the new Star Wars stuff that enhances the old stories, and I think that's what they're trying to do. We're starting to see some different directions with Acolyte and some
yeah.
High Republic stuff.
Right.
But when they do tie in these stories like Tales of the Jedi, Rogue One, Andor,
mm-hmm.
It's definitely with the intention of enhancing these characters,
yeah.
Filling in those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But
love it.
No, I love it. Obviously, we could pull out like any one of these and do like deep dives on
yeah,
all of it. But
sure.
Wanted to go through and rattle off some of these things that stood out to us. And if there's more that you guys think of that you know, is a character or a moment or special effects, whatever it may be, technology, that you think the new Star Wars has done well in enhancing what we have gotten, the originals, the prequels, whatever. Let us know. Drop it in the comments. And if there's any of these that we did discuss that are your favorites or you want us to touch on more or you've got your own opinions on, let us know those too. We love to hear from you guys. You can always reach out to us directly on Instagram at Star Wars Guys Pod and also here on YouTube live in the chat or drop it in the comments if you're watching this back. Anything else?
Thank you for watching.
Thanks for watching. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out again to... Sackcloth and Ashes and
yeah, very sweet.
Legion
it.
Sabers for the gifts for this great Star Wars blanket. I will be using all the time. All
I've
the
been
time.
I've
some
been
lightsabers
almost.
Coming
we're
on the way. Legion Sabers, thank you.
I've been wishing I was wearing that blanket the whole time. Not that I'm cold. It's just like
we
comfy.
Always joke about wearing pants because the camera angles and stuff. Today, the first time, I intentionally. Thought about, oh, I'll put the pants on. No, I won't. I won't. Why? Got the blanket.
He just said he has no pants
on. That's what I heard.
I got shorts
on. Oh, okay. Prove it.
Prove
it.
Prove it.
Prove it.
Paywall.
Prove it.
Paywall.
Stick around for the post-podcast. subscribe to the Patreon.
Under the blanket. Behind the podcast.
behind the podcast.
Behind the blanket.
But yeah, if you made it this far, what are you doing? No, thanks for tuning in.
What are you doing?
Hit the notification bell. Subscribe if you haven't already. And smash the like button this time. Smash the like button.
Do it.
And spread the word. We love having you guys tune in. We appreciate it. Thank you. And as always, may the Force be with you.
The Star Wars guys were the guardians of peace and justice in the YouTube-verse. Before the dark times. Before they got rich! No.
Before the clickbait.
Before the clickbaity titles. Tune into the next video.
If you made it this far and you enjoyed that episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and tell a friend about us here at Star Wars Guys. Your support is much appreciated and it never goes unnoticed. We'll see you all in the next episode.